I'm here at Roadburn Festival together with JB from the band Dool. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right, since it's...
It's Dutch, yeah. Yeah, you could say Dool. That's the Dutch way of pronouncing it. And or you could say Dool if you're English speaking.
Someone before told me that that means something like walk, but wander around like a zombie or something like this. Yeah, somebody like told me.
Like if you're lost, you're wandering, you're doling around.
Okay.
Omdole.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have a special show here at the Roadburn. You're playing your new record in its entirety.
Yes.
The record is called Shapes of Fluidity, mm-hmm. And for me, when I listened to it, it was heavier than the record before, but yeah. In a sense of heavier, like you really can feel a weight, and also somehow more urgency than the record before. The record before was called Summerland. It was more like a dreamy, also post-punkish, a little bit more 80s vibes as well. Yeah. How does it come that the new record now is heavier in this kind of sense?
The urgency I came from the fact that our very much beloved ex-drummer Misha, he had to quit, and he was really part a big part of the band. I think everybody was kind of nervous when he left, because it's obviously hard to replace a very vital part of the band like Misha. So I think it was the urgency very much comes from the fact that we were all kind of, you know, hoping we could still deliver without a very vital part of the band. So we worked really hard on making sure we were on top of our game, both songwriting-wise but also playing-wise. Me and the new drummer, Vincent Kreider, he's from Paris, used to play in Vision Bleak. Me and him worked on that quite a lot, I think even more so than... we did for Summerland, because obviously me and Misha were already, as a rhythm section, we were all already kind of used to each other, but me and Vincent still had to work on that, obviously, you know, we didn't have the same amount of years playing together. So that helped a lot in like the urgency. It's basically kind of like having to prove yourself again, because obviously like in a Summerland, maybe because we had a lot of shows before, maybe we didn't feel like we had to prove ourselves as much, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We were comfortable with each other as musicians. And this time we really, it was in a sense kind of like a new start a little bit, you know, because it's a new band. That really helped a lot in the urgency, I believe.
Yeah.
And in terms of when it comes to the actual sonics of it sounding heavy, I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we had Magnus on production for the full spectrum. Last time he mixed and mastered the record. Yeah. This time we chose to actually have him on the whole project, so from beginning to the end, and that also helped quite a lot, because you know his bands, okay. Cult of Luna and all his other work, and that's also heavy stuff, obviously. Yeah, sure. So I think he had this imprint in the heaviness also.
Talking about Magnus soon, since I also want to know something.
Yeah.
But I think as a band, also, so you had two new band members on the record, kind of.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Officially, yeah. I think we did have Omar on the record last time, because he kind of joined already during Summerland.
Oh, okay.
So he played, I think, one little solo on God Particle. Maybe a little symbolic, you know, because he wasn't really involved in the writing there. But he did join around those recordings. But this time he also contributed on the actual songwriting.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of riffs and ideas that are from him. And he was involved from beginning to the end also when it came to the recording of this album. Mm-hmm. And he's a very creative guy, so he also really had his imprint on the whole thing, for sure. Yeah,
okay.
So, and yeah, like you said, in fact, if you've factually seen the two new members on the record.
And you're working really together as a band when you're creating new songs?
Yeah, of course, there's always one person who has a main idea songwriting-wise.
Okay.
The main structure usually comes from one person. It wasn't the case with all songs this time. I think Nick, Raven, and Omar both had separate times where they had like their own riffs or half a songs that they kind of like collaborated on and finished together. Most of the time, it's one person who gives the song, and then afterwards we start rehearsing that. Everybody learns their part that's on the demo, and we kind of see where it ends after we rehearse it together.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a lot, obviously. And we record every rehearsal also, so you listen back to it, you perfect it, and So in that sense, it very much is a team effort. Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, you mentioned Magnus Lindberg before.
Yeah.
He's not only known as a drummer of Cult of Luna, as you mentioned before, but also in the scene of heavy music, he's a well-known producer as well, sound engineer. How does he help you exactly to evolve your sound for the latest record? Because as you said, Summerland, he mixed and mastered. Now you recorded with him, so.
To be honest, his strength really is in kind of giving you the room. Like, he's really good at making everybody have their say on something and then making sure the best idea gets picked. So kind of like having a very well-spoken psychologist in the room, you know what I mean? Like, giving everybody the illusion that they had their idea vetted and used or not, and giving them a good reason why it wasn't or was. So in that case... Actually, he was he wasn't even super obtrusive and like wasn't really pushing his ideas even as much, but made sure everybody was heard and that it was a very calm and, you know, easy working environment. And some people are really good at that, and he's very good at that, making sure everybody is at ease during recording. That really helped out, for sure. I never really felt, I didn't feel pushed, but I also felt heard during recording, which is very important. It makes also you need to push yourself a little bit, and like I said, that's a thin line to push, obviously, because you don't want to be too intrusive as a producer also. And he wasn't, but he definitely wasn't, but he was on the ball also working wise like I said, and that's a tightrope you have to walk, and he did that perfectly in my opinion, and he excelled in that, I think. Yeah, for sure. And his I think where he even more so excels is obviously his mixing work, which is absolutely amazing. Like I said, I do a lot of audio work myself also, and he was a personal hero, mixing wise, mastering wise. And that's also the reason why I pushed it on the band, like actually pushed it.
I also think he has some kind, a little bit, a signature sound, something like this. You can hear it when something is mixed by him.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's very earthy, also very modern. But I can't think, which was also one of the reasons I wanted to use him for Dole, is that I think he doesn't really have a signature sound. It's not like you're listening to like an Andy Sneap, which is very known for like one kind of metal production. Because even if you listen to his Cult of Luna productions, they're all vastly different. If you listen to Vertical or the last one, Long Road North, versus Somewhere Along the Highway, those are completely different sonically, you know? So I felt we would have a very big spectrum to choose from if we would tell him we would want this or this or this. I had high hopes that he would be able to fulfill that, you know? It's sometimes a little hard to listen to a musician ramble on about what they would want a band to sound like in their dreams, you know? But I felt, I had high hopes that he could actually do that. Mm. And he did, so yeah.
Cool. I have a colleague at the radio, he's also a music editor, and he always tells me, because I like the band Dool, and he always said, this band is kind of a mystery a little bit. I just don't get it that they have a community, listeners coming from the metal scene, but they're not a metal band. Yeah. But it's too epic for being indie or just a post-rock band, but it's not heavy. Why do they have the followers like that? Probably you can explain it to him.
Yeah, it's weird also in that regard, for sure. I think it's kind of like metal music written from somebody who's more from a pop sentiment, you know? Raven did pretty heavy but poppy music before this. Then I think a lot of us got kind of enveloped in the whole Devil's Blood uprise, which were all friends of ours also. Yop, old bass player who I replaced, and Misha were also part of Devil's Blood. So that kind of came together. So it's obviously kind of like the heaviness. And that's also where that kind of divide, which you just said, like the heavy, like, because that band was metal heavy when it came to the aesthetics and the ideology, but it wasn't a heavy band. It was basically Roki Erickson and, you know, heavy metal put together. I think that's where, when that band broke up, that's when basically, I think that whole sentiment kind of got picked up, and the band also, like I said, Jop and Misha, got picked up by Lav, and that kind of like formed Dole as it is today. So if you look at the basic fundamental building blocks, it kind of makes sense, you know what I mean? Because if you look at it from the band after, just with a new person writing the songs in a more pop sentiment, then that's Dole, you know? And what we added afterwards, I mean, that's, yeah. I think the more like post-rocky stuff, or what did you say again? Post-rocky, post-punk. Indie, post-punky? Yeah, yeah, I think that just came after with all the band members coming in afterwards. Yeah. Mm. So if you look at the really bit, if you just kind of dissect it very logically and look at the how the band got put together, it kind of makes sense. But I do get it that it's a weird, because you do see it in the way our public is, like you said, it's a lot of like true Vatane listening black metal heads, but then there's also gothy girls who like Drab Majesty who come to the shows, and especially in the Netherlands we also have the kind of like the scene tourists who know Raven from TV who come to the show. Okay. So it's a really weird little sum of people who come to the shows, for sure. It's a weird band in that regard, for sure. It's not unexplainable, but yeah, it's weird.
Well, last question, that you are a band from the Netherlands,
yeah,
and Roadburn is a particular festival worldwide, I said. They have kind of a loyal audience who are coming every year, digging the whole lineup. What is your relation with the festival and with the Roadburn fans?
I think in 2008 I saw Neurosis here, which was a absolutely amazing experience. As like I said, when that show was done, I thought the world was gonna end. I was like, what now? And I think a whole bunch of people had that. So that's definitely, since that was a musically also kind of like a fundamental experience for me, I think that's a really big part of, you know, what ties me to it, at least, you know. And I think also Dole in general, I think we found our manager, we found our label here during a cul-de-sac show. So that's also a big tie for us to Roadburn personally. And I did that. I played a bunch of shows here also with my other band Herder. Do a lot of sound here also. I'll be doing sound Sunday also for the Voet and Third Slit. So and I did that in the previous years quite a lot also. So yeah, there's too much connections and little things to even mention, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jebby, thanks for your time.
No problem.
Glad that you're here.
I hope it was cool. My ramblings.
Absolutely.